Good afternoon, everyone. It is April the 23rd, and it's a Thursday. We're going to continue on in our study in the book of Ephesians as we look at the armor of God together. So grab your Bibles, and we look forward to this time in the Word of God together. Welcome, First Baptist Church. Welcome, brothers and sisters from First Baptist Church of Ceres, California. This is principally meant for our congregation, but we welcome anyone else that might wander into or across this video. And our study is on the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament. And we are talking about how God has equipped us to stand against the forces of evil, against the devices and methods of our great enemy, the devil, the adversary. And we are seeking to be faithful Christians, walking in this truth and being people of faith. And this passage in Ephesians 6 is particularly helpful to us, especially during a time where we're a bit isolated. We're not able to gather with the body of Christ. We're not able to encourage each other like we normally do, seeing each other, having fellowship and worship. So during this time, we want to be at the top of our spiritual game. We want to have a good testimony. We want to be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us. Many of our unsaved friends are going to be asking questions and wondering what is all of this, and does God have any answers for them? And we have an opportunity to have a ministry and testimony, maybe in a little bit different way than we normally do. So I just want to encourage you to walk faithfully, and that's the reason and the occasion for this look at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I'm broadcasting from home today. I'm trying to get a little bit better lighting for our video than we've had. And so that's what it is. If you see me look down, it's because my Bible's in front of me. If I look off to the right, I have my notes there. So not sure if that is distracting for you as a watcher or not, but that hopefully will explain why I keep looking in certain directions. So with that being said, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin together in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in the Scriptures, and we pray that you would bless our understanding, help us to consider your Word rightly and faithfully, give us faith to not only hear, but to apply these things to our life, that we might be not just hearers, but doers. Pray that you would encourage your church, even through something like this small amount of time in these teachings. May you richly bless us because of it, and may we respond to your word in the way that is delightful and pleasing to you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, then, is where we're going to be. If you'll go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, and just keep a Bible along with you. If you want to jot some notes down, that's fine, but this is where we're going to spend most of our time. So Ephesians chapter 6, and starting in verse 10 is where we started reading. Verses 10 through 20 is our passage over these weeks. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul writes to the Ephesian church these words again, as we've read them a couple of different times in our study. And today we're going to focus particularly on verse 16 and this wonderful piece of armor and these phrases that say, in addition to all, verse 16, in addition to all, that is all that you've already put on in relationship to the armor of God, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, when we get to verse 16, we see that phrase, in addition to all, as I said, in addition to everything that's come. Remember, through all of this, Paul is encouraging Christians, hey, I want you to be strong in the strength of the Lord, in his power, in the level of his power, the greatness of his power, as well as the extent of his power, where he could bring that power to bear. And so one way we look at the strength is like a power lifter in the weightlifting. Power lifter, the one that can lift the most is the greatest. And so be strengthened in the level that of power that God has, as well as the extent of his might. You might have a really strong man, let's say in a football game. Somebody could just grab onto somebody and tackle any of them. But if he doesn't have speed and he's not quick enough to catch anybody, that power is not going to do any good. So you have the greatness of the power and then the ability to bring that power to bear. And so we are to be strengthened in the Lord because he has the greatest strength and he has the greatest ability to be strengthened wherever and whenever he wants to. And this is how we need to be strengthened. So we're told in verse 11 and in verse 13, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, take up the full armor of God. And we've been looking at least at the first few times together on three components of the armor that we could say that these are the parts you actually wear. These are the parts you dress yourself in. We looked at the belt of truth. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness. And we looked also at what I call the boots of assurance, or maybe the shoes of assurance. Sounds a little bit more alliteration there. Sounds better. But I said boots because of the nature of the soldier. But I came to that through that phrase last time that we looked at the word to cover our feet, strap on our feet, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we talked about the gospel, knowing the gospel, coming to the gospel. We understand that God has done everything for us, and he is at work. And because of how the gospel influences us, prepares us to do this act of standing against the devil's tricks, the devil's methods, all the powers that are arrayed against God's kingdom and his righteousness. And Paul tells the Christians here, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, we are in flesh and blood, and we might have some physical challenges even that are related to following Christ. Sometimes people face physical dangers for following Christ. Some people are persecuted in that way around the world, not so much here in this country, though perhaps that's coming in the future. But our battle principally is one, and any Christian's battle anywhere, whatever physical things they may face, it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual darkness that permeates our world, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual realm kind of battle. There are all kinds of rulers and powers and forces out there, spiritual forces of wickedness that we are dealing with. Now, if it was God's intent for us to really get specific and find out what's exactly the nature of all of that, here would have been a perfect opportunity for him to say, this is the way that demons operate, and these are this is how we engage in the spirit. He doesn't have us focus on all that, the specific nature of our enemy, other than to say, hey, we have an enemy, the devil, the adversary, the one who lies, the one who accuses God's people, the one who led our first parents into temptation, the one who is glad to see our temptations towards sin. We have an enemy, the devil. We have forces, demonic forces, all the things that are spiritually against God, against his righteousness and his kingdom, that we are now for as believers, these are all coming against us. That's our battle. So put on the full armor of God, knowing that that's going to be a reality. Take up the full armor of God so that we're prepared for these things, so that, verse 13, we'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Verse 11, putting on the armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes, that is, against the methods, the devices of the all the things that the devil brings to try to overcome us spiritually. That's what we need to stand firm against. And so we are resisting. We are doing everything we can to stand firm. So stand firm, therefore, and we're girding ourselves with truth then, and we are vesting ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness, putting that on. We are strapping on or shodding our feet, strapping on shoes with this preparation of the gospel of peace. So as I said, that the gospel prepares us to be assured of the position we are in Christ so that we can stand. And so, at least in my view, I'm calling those the shoes of assurance, just as a quick way to say it. If we say shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's a rather lengthy phrase. And I think assurance gets at the heart of it. Why doesn't Paul just say assurance then? Well, if I'm right, it's because he wants to emphasize the fact that, hey, the gospel of peace has prepared you to be in this position. You're standing, having these kinds of shoes for good footing to be able to handle the battlefield terrain, like the spiked sandals or the spiked shoes that soldiers would have had, so that they were ready to fight, weren't going to slip, weren't going to trip. They had sturdy footwear. We're prepared with the assurance of what the gospel tells us and the reality of the gospel, so that we can, well, do exactly what God wants. We can stand. Now, again, notice these are all things that we've put onto ourselves. We're intimately connected with truth that adorns us. We're connected to the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness that He's working in us. That's, we're adorned with that. We have the assurance of what the gospel teaches us, and knowing that we can stand there well. Those are all things that we've put on. And now we are taking up. So verse 16 says, in addition to all that you already put on, there's going to be some more. There's more ways that we prepare ourselves to stand. We do it by girding. We do it by putting on. We do it by strapping on or shodding our feet with those things. And now we do it by taking up the shield of faith. And the first thing I'd have us notice is that you're actually having to not put this on, but take this up. This is something that you're going to be using in the battle. As the onslaught of the enemy comes, you're not just sitting wearing it. You're actually going to be taking it up and using it. Now, you don't usually, assault your enemy with your shield. It's not really designed to be something you strike them with, but it is a protection against what is coming towards us. It literally shields us in the course of the battle. And so when we think about the nature of standing, as is the context here in Ephesians, we are standing with a tool, with a device that shields us, protects us from what is going on in the battle. So as we are dressed, so we are holding on to things, and we'll be looking at the helmet of salvation, and which I suppose you could say is part of a dress, but we'll talk about that the next time, as well as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are things that as the battle comes, you grab those and you make those ready. And so this is the first one of those that we're making ready. We're taking up the shield of faith. And we want to remember that the enemy is coming against us. Our job, the idea for us, is that we stand. The metaphor here in the imagery is not we're advancing soldiers, although there's ways that we advance in the Christian life. This is just talking about how we stand. The idea is there is a battle going on, and our principal job is to, after everything's done, to still be standing. We stand firm. So regardless of what the enemy throws at us, regardless of what the enemy does, we are still the people of God standing at the end of the battle. We're not put down. We're not wrestled to the mat. We're not pinned. We're not done like that. We remain. We stand. And this is what Paul is saying to us. And I think it's pretty important to the whole message of the book of Ephesians. In the early part of Ephesians, as we mentioned, I think one of the first lessons is that it's described to us how God goes about saving us, the plan the Father has and the plan God has, and how the Son accomplishes for us, how the Spirit is given to us as promised. But chapter, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. And not a result of works, but it's something that God is doing with it. Why? Because in chapter 2, verse 10, he is at work doing something. For by grace you have been saved, verse 8, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So God is saving us. He's giving us grace and faith, and we are believing because of that gift. It's not of ourselves. We can't boast about it. We're boasting in him because he is at work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God wants us doing something. He wants to show off the reality of what he has done for us. He has good works in mind. You see, we don't do the good works to get saved, but when God saves us, when we come by grace through faith to God in Jesus Christ, he then wants us to be doing good works to his glory. The good works come after. That's what he's working in us. And notice that we need to walk in them. And so after the first three chapters, and we'll explain kind of our standing and what God has done, we come to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And so we've been called to be those who are in Christ Jesus, believe in God, and are disciples. We need to walk worthy of that call. Chapter 4, verse 17, that we're told to walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And goes on to say, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. So we're not to walk, the Gentiles here, is he's using it as a sense of those who do not believe in God, the God of Israel, the God that promised the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't walk as those who don't believe, rather walk as those who do believe. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. So again, this idea of walking, of living in light of what God has done. Chapter 5, verse 6 of Ephesians, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, as are unbelievers. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Again, this idea of living and walking now that you have been converted. Chapter 5, also verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. We're to do well in this world as believers, not living like the old way. We're to be new. And he goes on then right after this to say, hey, one of the things you do is you make sure you're filled with the Spirit. And it talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart in the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So these are all ways that you walk by the Spirit, singing and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, making melody in your heart, giving thanks, and the last verse, subjecting to one another in the fear of Christ. So submitting to each other, serving each other, being humble before each other. And so then he goes on in the context of just having, say, hey, be submissive to each other. He says, verse 22, wives be submissive. Verse 25, husbands be submissive in the way that you love your wives as Christ loved the church. Then children are to be submissive. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers are to be submissive to the needs of the children, if you will. Fathers, do not provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, verse 5, chapter 6, be obedient to those who are your masters. So submit there. And masters, verse 9, do the same to your servants, to your slaves. Give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So before God, slaves and masters, you guys are the same. So treat one another with those kinds of affection. So having said all of that, walk, be filled with the Spirit, let it trickle down in the way that you live your lives in this fashion. Then we get to verse 10. Finally, the last thing, in other words, I'm going to say to you Christians, after telling you how to walk, be filled with the Spirit, now put on the full armor of God. And so that's the context we find this, that Paul is trying to get the Ephesian church to recognize, and to us, the Spirit of God has spoken to us through his word, through Paul writing to this church, that we are being told, hey, be strengthened in the Lord, get ready to stand firm, put on the full armor of God. And that's where we get really the emphasis then to put on each piece of this armor, because each piece is important. We're supposed to put on the full armor of God. We're supposed to take up the full armor of God. So here in verse 16 then, we see taking up the shield of faith. Now let's just think about for a second the concept of the shield. The shield here is talking about, well, I guess you could call it a full body shield. It wasn't the little circular shield you see sometimes in the movies where you might protect yourself from blows of a sword. But it is a shield that, well, you could get your whole self behind. And the purpose of it was to protect you from what the assault that could be in the battle, particularly things that are thrown your direction or launched in your direction, and it was to protect you in that kind of way. So while we are protected and shielded to an extent in the armor that we dress ourselves with, this device, the shield, was the first level of protection when the enemy's fire came toward you. And we see specifically in verse 16, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the arrows of the evil one. So the idea of the shield then was to put it between you and the assault of the enemy. And notice it's the flaming arrows, the fiery darts. Oftentimes they would take the leather, the things that would cover the shield, and they'd drench them in water so that when something fiery came their way, it would truly extinguish. And I was thinking, well, I mean, those things kind of, if they're big enough to cover your whole self and they're substantial enough to ward off, you know, arrow shots and spears, and you've weighted it down with soaking it in water, it would be a little bit something to handle. And so this, but yet vital to your protection when you are standing on the battlefield, especially if you're called to stand your ground. Now, standing your ground doesn't mean that you just stay fixed in one spot, not moving. If the commander of the army says, you know, hold this line, hold this hill, you're going to move around in the course of the battle, but you're trying to stay in that location. You want to still be there when the battle is done. And so the shield is there to protect you from those, you know, probably most of the threat was bow and arrows coming at you. And certainly, as if arrows weren't dangerous enough, when they're on fire and they cause whatever's around you to maybe catch flame and have to battle a blaze as well as the battle, And so this is a terrible weapon of the foe launched in your direction. But notice in verse 16, the shield of faith with which you will be able, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The great thing about this shield of faith, is when you're using it, when the shield of faith is there, there's nothing that can't get through if you're exercising that faith. That doesn't mean that we don't face great trials. It doesn't mean that things may not be difficult. But whatever the enemy launches to do you great harm can be met by faith and extinguished and become not a danger. And so that's a very great encouragement to us in relationship to the armor of God. And it's this idea of the shield of faith. So we have looked at kind of the idea, the concept of the shield and how we can consider that. But also, let's not forget that it's a shield of faith. And so I was thinking about just the nature of faith, a couple of things from the scripture that, you know, just anybody can come to those things. We're familiar with many thoughts and promises in relationship to faith in the scripture, but I thought of these. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, it says there. And so God wants us to stand firm, right? That's this text in Ephesians. He wants us to stand firm. He wants us to be standing at the end of the battle. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Pleasing him is when we're successfully employing faith so that we are standing. We are a testimony to the goodness and the greatness and the provision of God. Remember when Paul said, and we read it, that our battle's not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the, note, heavenly places. Now, is, you know, Paul just being flowery there? Is he just being poetic in what he says? I think that, you know, in my view, more than likely, Paul has, I'm thinking about a lot of things that can be considered rulers and powers, right? And world forces of darkness and spiritual forces that are coming against us. All the things that Paul faced, I'm not sure that I think it makes sense to me that he's thinking of specific things and not just, you know, being redundant with those words. But he ends it with the spiritual forces, right? The spiritual forces that are in the heavenlies. Well, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing, note, in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, we might have all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of evil forces, all kinds of things coming against us. But God has provided for us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So this is just Paul at the end of the letter telling us that make sure you put those things on. Make sure you take those things up because you've already been given every spiritual equipping to deal with these things. So taking up the shield of faith will allow us then to be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's very exciting, very helpful to us. As we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, just that idea of being saved through faith. We know, for Romans, we're justified by faith. We're sanctified through faith. The righteous man will live by faith. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So many things that faith brings us to and is a part of. And we know that faith is what we have and what we practice and what we do. It's a gift. Nobody can boast about in of themselves. It's something God has granted to us. And we want to be thankful for that and grateful for it. Also, as we think about taking the shield of faith, there's a couple other verses that came to my mind that I think will be helpful for us in thinking of why faith is so crucial. And again, I said it's sort of like the first defense against all the things that are coming to us from the enemy, all the flaming missiles, the fiery darts, the arrows on fire that are coming towards us. Let's look just together at James chapter 1. Just as an example of how we are shielded, how the shield of faith works, I think here in James chapter 1, we find that the shield of faith has helped to us in relationship to temptation, in relationship to how the enemy, how our great enemy, the devil, would seek to, well, to have us sin, to fall us to sin just much like he did early on. So James chapter 1, of course, we're familiar with it, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man, the one who doubts, that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. And so we don't want to be doubting. We want to be people of faith. And when your faith is tested in all kinds of ways, sounds like a crazy battle with all those forces arrayed against us, and it is a crazy battle. There is much against us, except that the one thing that is for us wins, and that's the Lord. Who can separate us from the love of God? No, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? We know that we're secure. We know that it's already been won for us. We know we don't have to worry. That's part of the assurance of the gospel. But the faith in that is going to be able to, we don't have to worry about these, even the accusations that the accuser might send against us. And we have been guilty of many sins, but in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so even those things, it's like, well, that's been taken care of already. That guy's a dirty, rotten sinner. Yes, he is. Yes, I am. But I have been forgiven. By grace, through faith, I've been saved. And now I stand, well, being declared righteous. I stand justified by God in Christ. So even when we're tested, it's the testing of our faith. But in Bruce's eight, what? An endurance. That's what we need to stand through the battle. We need to be able to endure all the way to the end. Verse 12 in James 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, once it's demonstrated your faith has been put on display, the faith that God has given you and that he's at work in you for, once you've been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, and that's actually the same word as when you're tested, but God's glad to see us tested to see faith come out, but he's not tempting us to move towards sin. God's pleased to test us to see faith, but it's the devil that tempts us to sin. If you're being tempted and moving to sin, don't blame God. That's the idea here. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. He's not looking for evil, he's looking for faith. Verse 14. But each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed with his own lust, his own desires. Then when desire, lust, has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. He's not looking for us to be sinning. He's looking for us to demonstrate something else. And so when it comes to the faith that he has given to us, that's our shield. It means everything to us. We're supposed to see that faith be maintained. The righteous man will live by faith. And so faith is a shield when it comes to the temptations from the enemy. This is what we are counting on. We have faith that God is coming through, that all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus that we have are going to be sufficient for fighting this battle. The other passage that I would take you is out of Philippians chapter 4. Just love this section, these verses, Philippians 4, 6 through 9. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we find this command that at times is quite challenging for us, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we all experience times where we get anxious or we're a little worried about something and it begins to be on our mind. Sometimes we lose sleep, don't we? Sometimes we're fretting and we're not looking forward to an encounter with a particular individual, or there's stresses at work and we dread going in, or all kinds of things that we worry about with the coronavirus. Are we going to be able to go back to work? Are we going to be able to go back to the things that are we going to have some freedoms that continue to be not available to us, that we'll be restricted from? There's a lot of things that are up in the air about these things, but in the context, we are not to be anxious for nothing. But there's good reasons to be anxious. Yeah, I think there probably are, but still the command is don't be anxious, rather go to prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When the enemy assaults us, right, we have an opportunity to respond by faith. And we'll talk about prayer near the end of our section in Ephesians chapter 6. And we don't see the word faith here, but what I want you to recognize is that when you pray, it is of necessity. You're believing God. You're believing that someone is listening to you and is ready to answer, and he's powerful enough to do so. Prayer is an exercise of faith. And so the shield of faith then is a help to us when we are distraught, when we are worried, when things are causing us to be stressed and we're to be anxious. But you see, the righteous man, he lives by faith. When we face temptation, when we face situations that worry is easy to move toward, we must be people of faith. And so take up the shield of faith. Again, remember, you have to sort of actively put that shield between you and wherever the onslaught is coming on. There's kind of an active defense here, because you want to be able to see those flaming arrows and missiles extinguished. Two last verses, really, but here we come to kind of wrap things up for this session. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Paul's first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and this is sort of a sad part where the Apostle Paul speaks of some who he's had to let go, some who have departed from the faith, and he sort of has to give them over. He says, "I've handed them over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme," and the hope is, hey, Satan is going to have his way with you because you're not walking by faith. And so maybe letting him have you will be something that will teach you not to blaspheme against God. So look at verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you," those things that were told about Timothy by the Lord, prophecies were made concerning the ministry that we had, we presume, and what the Lord may do with him. He says, "In accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them," Timothy, "you fight the good fight, keeping," notice this, "keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." You, Timothy, you make sure you have faith. You make sure that you have a good conscience. Keep the faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected faith. They're not worried about answering the conscience. They're not believing anymore. They're not walking by that belief. And what? They have shipwrecked in their faith. We don't want to shipwreck our faith. We want to have a hold of our faith so it's ready to shield us and protect us and be of use as God has designed so that we'll be able to stand at the end of the battle. But not everyone holds to it, that claims it. You remember the scripture does say, doesn't it? Examine yourself to see if you truly be in the faith, right? And so faith is something we can't muster it up. It comes from God, right? It's the gift of God. And so we have God to go to. And we beg his mercy and pray his prayers. And when we lack faith, we pray for more faith. And when we have a faith struggle, we pray for God's blessing. Because he has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And we have that which we need so that we will extinguish, or will be able to extinguish all fiery arrows of the evil one. This is our provision. This is what has God done for us. I'll close with this verse out of Romans chapter 5. A beloved verse for all believers. Romans chapter 5. Just listen to, in relationship to what we've talked about the shield of faith today. Chapter 5, verse 1 of the letter to the Romans. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, note this, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Right? We stand in grace. The battle comes, you're still to be standing. God's shown us favor and kindness. His grace has come to us. We stand in grace by faith. Take that shield of faith and remain standing, brothers and sisters. This is the encouragement from the Word of God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. God has things for us to do. He's working things up. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He wants us to glorify him and honor him. And one of the ways that we do that is by putting on the full armor of God, taking up the full armor of God so that we might resist, that we might stand when it comes to the evil day, that the powers of the devil and all the forces of wickedness arrayed against us aren't able to overcome, because we are equipped by the power of God to stand, be strengthened in the power of his might, and stand therefore. Do everything you can to stand. Take it up. Put it on so that you will find yourself standing. Stand firm, therefore, putting on these things. So, brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord. Be strengthened by him. Put on his armor so that you will be found faithful and still standing at the end of every onslaught the enemy can throw us. Because God is able. We're not able, but we're equipped. And we're equipped because of what God has given to us and the power of Jesus Christ and the working of his Spirit. We're so grateful that God has not left us without help. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sin and come to him, you're believing in him and him alone for your salvation, then you're equipped and you'll be able to keep standing. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters. We'll see you next time when we look at the helmet of salvation. Until then, may the Lord bless you, and keep reading the Word, keep praying, look for opportunities to encourage the people at your local church, until that time when we can be together, and then we'll be able to do it in person. But get clever now, be faithful, keep standing, and we'll see you next time.